The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Run and Plays podcast with Grant Lithman. I'm Kareth Burke, and we have some juicy topics for you today. Grant, we have to talk about some dates that are coming up. Might be a new date for the draft, a new date to start the season. And then let's talk about Giannis unfollowing everybody on Instagram and the Rockets getting bounced by the Lakers in five. They have a new coaching situation. I think we need to talk about James Harden. We have a good Run and Plays podcast for you. And of course, it is presented by Wendy's. They have a new pretzel bacon pub cheeseburger at participating Wendy's for a limited time only. And Grant, I went over those words in my head. Pretzel, yes. Bacon.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Pub, most definitely. Cheeseburger, yes.
Yeah, now I'm hungry. I mean.
Yeah, four out of four, winner.
Should we just cut this pod and just go eat?
Kind of.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm basically always hungry. All right, let's look ahead. There are some new dates, new reports coming out. It looks like the draft is going to be November 18th. Once it was supposed to be October 16th, which is coming up quick. But maybe something on November 18th. And this has to go through the Board of Governors. Mm-hmm. Governors Board? Board of Governors?
Board of Governors.
Yeah, the players have to do this. But Bob Myers was explaining he kind of likes pushing it back because he gets to know these people that he will be offering tens of million dollars to a little bit better. That seems important.
Yeah, no, I think Bob Myers and the Warriors staff are elated. Now, do they wish, sure, that fans were about to be in the arena earlier, so that wouldn't have pushed the date back? And we'll get to that in a second. Yes, but if all things considered, if the date of the season's pushed back, well, push back the draft too, because that gives them A, more time to actually potentially see these guys in person, maybe even see them work out. That hasn't been decided yet. But also, they get more time to decide how they want to maybe make a trade, etc. They want to see teams put together what they think is a plan moving forward. And a lot of that has to do with finances. And we've talked about it so much. They need to know the salary cap and what's going to happen. By pushing the draft back, that pushes back the free agency and pushes back everything. And in that case, teams will have more of a concept of what they're going to do. That gives Warriors way more options. This is fantastic news for the Warriors. Bad news for us, because that means for another extra month, we need to speculate. I'll just say a new draft crush maybe every day. I don't know how to do this.
I really liked your draft crush last time. That was a lot of fun. And also, not just the money for the Warriors, but if you talk to Bob Myers, you know that he exists on this emotional plane, right? Like, vibes are really important to him. Relationships are important to him, chemistry. So if moving the draft back lets him meet some of these draft prospects, lets them read body language, lets him meet, like, read eye contact, that is really important. Or how about seeing how a guy just fits in the Bay Area, or like what he's like working out, you know, with, maybe the workouts aren't with people, but like, what is he like just wandering around the facility? How does he interact with people, right? You got to get a read on who folks are. And this gives you more time if it's moved to November 18th.
Are you a good interviewer?
I interview people well?
No, do you as an interviewee?
Because yes to that answer.
I don't know, but do you, as an interviewee, I don't know, an applicant, are you a good?
I know what you mean. I believe so, because of my preparedness and my confidence. And actually, something that I've talked to my dad about, he was in the Army, he was an officer, he led a lot of people. Just talking to him for stuff, like, I always want to go into an interview and make that interviewer believe that I will be one of the best hires they have ever made. Wow. And sometimes if I can read the situation, if I could tell that person would like a statement like that, like that kind of confidence, if it wouldn't rub them the wrong way, mm-hmm. I will state that in the interview.
Wow.
And then I will, whenever I leave, like, you know, I spent 5 years at SNY, like during an exit interview, I would say, I hope I lived up to what I said. I hope you will consider me one of your best hires ever.
Whoa, power yeah. move.
Yes, but it doesn't feel artificial. I want to be that way at every single job I have. I want to make a mark everywhere. I want to live up to the standards I have for myself and be a steward for the company that I'm working for. Like, I want to be the example of what a good reporter is, what a good employee is, and somebody that they enjoy working with. So to answer your question.
I would hire you right now.
Yes. Yes, but there can't be bluster there. Like, it's something that you have to earn. You can't just, you know, swing that kind of like, yeah, I'm the best you're ever going to see. You can't just swing that crap around. Like, I feel an obligation to myself to live up to that. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a difference between cockiness and confidence. Absolutely. Yes. And hopefully you can read the room enough. So, but let me ask you this. Were you that good when you were 18 years old?
No, because my confidence was budding. You know, I guess I really had to grow and learn in college. I think I've always been a confident person, but you see the ways that it blooms.
Right.
And I guess there's also that idea that, like, a wise person knows how little he or she knows.
Right.
So it's not like, I don't know. Like, I definitely want to grow and bloom. I like that word bloom. So with the understanding that there's always a way to get better, I think I'm pretty good to start.
Well, if you think about the word, by the way, budding comes from the same idea as blooming. It's the same, you know, concept. So we're using the same metaphor really in the end.
Thank you, my flower child.
Yeah, of course. That's what I hear. Look at my fern. But for me, you know, I think about this and, you know, I have a lot of confidence interviewing, but definitely that's developed over the years. Yeah. Did I have confidence when I was 18? Sure. It was a different type of confidence. And as you were saying, you have more of an understanding of yourself, the world, how to read people, how to just present yourself. These kids are interviewing, they're 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old. So Kirk Lacob talked to us about it. It's not easy to just break down like, oh, this guy, you know, 18 year old, very impressive. I mean, you're guessing what these guys are going to be like, right? So you're giving 2 more months to meet them in person, try to... There are certain people that are probably incredible people, incredible at their job, probably so fantastic in the locker room, but the first time you meet them, they might be super shy or awkward or come off in a certain way because they're young kids, right? So maybe this extra time being in person, reading their eyes, doing all that gives you them more time even to be more comfortable with you and kind of show who they are. So it's a good thing. It's an absolute good thing. And we know this very well. The Warriors really put a lot of stock in who the person is. They care about that. They do a ton of research on them to hear from stories from college, high school, what they were like, but they want to meet the person in person to see what their character is. And pushing back the draft will help that.
What a great point. If you're 18 or 19 and you're about to embark on this pro career where you get to be one of 430 people doing this job. Oh, and you're about to be a millionaire now. Yep. Maybe you've never seen that money in your life. So you've got your whole family behind you. Like, you can make a huge change in your family's life. Oh, and there's immense pressure on you because you're the top pick or the number two pick. I can see how meeting Bob Myers would make somebody stutter.
Right. And Joe Lacob. Joe Lacob's he's you know, he has an intensity to him.
Yeah. Some of these GMs are tough.
Yeah.
These guys are tough. I think I would find Steve Kerr a little disarming. I think he's got a joke somewhere in his back pocket, you know, to help people.
Right.
That's a big deal.
But when you see the resume and who he is, you're walking in, you're seeing a celebrity, right? If it was a lesser known coach, maybe you'd feel a little more comfortable, but you're walking into a Hall of Fame coach eventually, and it's like, whoa, here I am immediately in the Golden State Warriors. You have this awe about them. Yeah. Also, I mean, being 18 years old and you go into these situations, you could be a little awestruck at the situation, but your agent is literally putting a script out there for you before you go in to tell you what to say, right? So these kids don't even get to be themselves yet. So maybe this extra time will kind of disarm them, as you were saying, bring that wall down of what their agent created for them and become the person who they actually are. And then you can weed through the BS of the perfect answer that a lot of these kids are being fed.
That to me falls into a category of preparation. To me, that's like having maybe some note cards in front of you being like, hit these beats, but I don't know if they're told exactly what to say. What do you think? They are.
But
you can sense that they're just, you know, trying to retrieve something from their mind that they're right. supposed to, like memorizing lines.
But that's why they ask questions that try to get away from that. So they try to ask questions that steer them away from the typical, like, you know, how do you see yourself fitting into our offense? What would it be like playing next to Steph Curry? What would it be about, you know, those questions, your script.
I mean, there's only one answer to that though.
It'd be freaking sweet. They're scripted. They really are, especially in these Zoom meetings. As Chris Mullin said, there's pretty much an agent sitting on the other side with like a pad of paper just saying, read this line right here. This is what you're about to say.
Teleprompter app.
You can break it down.
Ah, jeez. All right. Well, hey, there's one more date too. Was it Woj or Shams who said it's very likely the NBA will not start before Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Which tells me they are definitely hoping to start exactly on Christmas Day, because that's a huge marquee day in the NBA. And then if you start too late, if you start going into next year, like what if it's Martin Luther King Day? What if it's Groundhog's Day? Because time has been feeling like it's been very repetitive lately. How do you have an 82 game season? I think it might already be a challenge to have an 82 game season, but saying it won't start before Christmas Day tells me the target is Christmas Day.
The target is Christmas Day is the second biggest day of the year for viewership for the NBA. The first is opening night. So if you combine the two, unfortunately, they lose one of those big nights. MLK weekend is another huge day. Monday, they get a lot of good games in. The Warriors-Cavs have always had those great games on that day. But, Kareth, I'm going to be honest with you here. I highly, highly doubt the season's going to start Christmas. I think we're looking at potentially New Year's. First week of January, if not late January, February.
Why do you say that?
The NBA, no matter what, is going to get their 82 games in. They really will. And of course, they don't want to push it back, but they're losing so much money by not having fans in. They're going to push the season back as far as possible. And even if you push it back further, you know, they're hoping for better testing. They're hoping to watch the NFL and all these other sports be able to show you what it's like to potentially have fans come into a stadium. Think about the Kansas City Chiefs had fans in their stadium. Obviously it's different, more spread out, open air in the NFL, but they're going to try to, the assumption is, whether it be what I'm reading or whatever I'm hearing, a lot of people do assume it's going to be later than Christmas, which is obviously unfortunate, but if they truly, truly think that there's a chance to get maybe some fans into the arena in January, I think it's worth it.
Yeah. On a personal level, it would be very interesting to have Christmas off. Would I be flying? I don't know. It does feel, listen, if I'm going to work on Christmas, it feels special to cover the NBA. You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
Like, I feel happy when I go into the arena. Everybody has like these warm, fuzzy kind of feelings, and there's definitely like an electricity in the air. So if I'm going to work, it would be great to cover a game.
You're traveling, or you know, you have to go to Cleveland, et cetera. For me also, Kareth, just on a personal level, being that I am Jewish, I am the person that volunteers every Christmas to come in. Not that I don't enjoy celebrating Christmas, I really do, but it's like my way of giving back so all my Christian coworkers can go home and actually enjoy their Christmas, and I come in and I take over that show.
Thank you. So I've had coworkers do that in the past, and it was awesome. Thank you so, so much. It's like, okay, this group of folks will work on Thanksgiving. Some people have Thanksgiving off.
Exactly.
Okay, volunteers will work on Christmas. Thank you so much. Usually if you're single, like hopefully you would get New Year's or New Year's Eve.
Right.
It all tends to work out.
Yeah.
Well, the NBA, as you said, wants fans in the building. Adam Silver reminded players during the summer, 40% of the league revenue is from arenas and fans in attendance. It's butts in the seats. That's so important going forward, provided they can do it in a safe way. So what is that predicated on? Is that a vaccine? Is that even coming? I mean, there are still some big COVID questions. I don't know. I don't know. So that date has been floated out there. The league will not start before Christmas Day. Very interesting.
It just gives the Warriors more time to acquire Giannis. What a segue.
Oh, God. Okay. So for the same reasons that we've been talking about all summer, I still don't think the Warriors are going to get Giannis. They have to give up too much to get him. A team cannot be composed of only Steph Curry and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I would be interested to see that experiment, though.
5-on-2, baby.
Yeah.
But it was extremely interesting when he unfollowed all of his Bucks teammates in the organization. In fact, I checked today just to make sure that was still the case. Giannis only follows 8 people on Instagram. They're all family members. I completely understand that. And I myself have fantasized about unfollowing everyone.
Gareth.
Okay? Maybe Gareth. This is a healthy social media thing for him where he is having a complete separation of work and personal life.
Gareth.
No, not buying it?
Gareth. Okay. First of all, the minute it happened, I assumed he got hacked again because he got hacked not too long ago. But just think about optics here. Giannis is a very smart guy, right? Yeah. If this was not a hack job.
It's sure, not a hack. He wasn't hacked.
Right.
No.
Sure. Maybe it is the healthier thing to do. I'm not saying that's not true. I think everything you're saying is correct.
Yeah.
However, given everything that's happening right now, very odd move to unfollow all your Bucks teammates who are supposed to be your friends, etc. Right now. It's a very weird move. Even your own team, I don't know what it means. I wish I could tell you, but obviously news came out even this morning. We're recording this on Monday, and Woj was saying that that Giannis that day went in to meet with the owner. He's going on vacation. And he's talking about how they need to figure out a plan to go over the luxury tax and tell him how they're going to put together a team that will compete in the future. Mm-hmm. There is something ominous about the fact that that meeting happened. They talked about his future, and then he unfollowed all his teammates, et cetera, before he goes on vacation. That is a very weird thing. And I'm the guy that I think Giannis is staying. I really do. I think he's going to be there another year, whatever. I'm not saying the Warriors are getting him. But that is a very ominous thing. And I do agree with you that the mental part of it of I'm separating myself for a little bit is great. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love that. Weird time to do it.
Is it weird? Because it happened right at the end of the season. It would have been hella weird if he did it before the Miami Heat series. He did it at exactly the right time if he were to do it. That's what I'm saying. And then exit interviews in any professional sport are not out of the ordinary. So I know it looks like, oh man, Giannis met with the owner. That happens in every sport, especially a player of that caliber. When you're trying to build around him, when he is an MVP, when he's defensive player of the year, it would be weird if he didn't meet with ownership, absolutely, right? I really want people to just kind of take a breath here.
Absolutely.
I don't think he's going anywhere. He told Chris Haynes as much right after the game. He's like, I am not interested in leaving. I know I wouldn't use the word ominous that he met with the Bucks owner. I don't think so.
No. The exit interview, it's the same day. That's all I'm saying. That's a weird coincidence.
No, it's not.
He could have waited when he was on vacation.
No, when you're on vacation, you turn the page. I don't know. I don't know. When I go on vacation, I'm not going to make a point to talk to my boss. I want complete separation, especially if it's going to be like a 2-3-4 month long vacation. It's like, hey, I'm going to do my duty. I want to meet with you. I want to communicate with you immediately after our season is over. And I want to go into this vacation knowing where we stand. I think he's coming back. He's going back to the Bucks. So I guess I actually didn't feel like I didn't feel the alarms going off that everybody else felt. I feel like this is actually entirely, entirely normal.
The
and
exit
one day,
interview.
I will unfollow everyone.
If you unfollow me, I know you're leaving. I just want you to know that. The minute you unfollow me on Instagram, I know Kareth is going overseas to become the broadcaster.
I want to follow, I don't know, like 25 people, and one of them will be the Dodo account with the pets on Twitter.
Of course. I mean, that's automatic.
That's right. I'll follow you to see Nancy Noodles post.
There you go. But you can follow her account personally. You can unfollow me.
Got it.
No, exit interviews, that happens. Every player does it. Every player that's supposed to be on the team for next year, and a lot of the ones that are even free agents, they have an exit interview. That's just how it works. The things they're going to talk about, of course, those are the things you have to talk about. Where there's awkwardness is Giannis was very upset with how the Bucks dealt with Malcolm Brogdon last season. They decided to spend money instead on Bledsoe and other pieces instead of bringing back Brogdon, who was really, really good for him, and Giannis really liked him, right? And so
Bledsoe wasn't that bad, though.
No, he's not bad, but that was Giannis's guy, Malcolm Brogdon. And so there was weirdness about that. In the end, they really needed Malcolm Brogdon. He was a player that they really could have used. So Giannis, that's where the people are like, well, there's a reason he's asking these questions, but these questions were going to be asked either way. So we don't know the vibe of this meeting. I don't care about social media stuff. That doesn't, in today's age, it means whatever. Giannis, again, is very smart. He's a very smart guy. There are obvious optics to something like that. Now, maybe he had this feeling of maybe people aren't creepy enough to just watch my page all the time to see if I'm following or unfollowing somebody.
Clues.
But again,
this part of the job. I hate it.
I'm just saying, optics. It's a weird look. That's all I'm saying. I know you don't agree, but it's a weird look.
I'm not going to label it weird, but I say, maybe the timing stands out. Maybe. Although I've already kind of explained, like, when you go on vacation, you don't want to follow anybody, family only. All right. Okay, I will cut down my argument. I will say one thing, because I reread what Chris Haynes wrote. One, he had the story right afterward where he asked Giannis, are you going to ask for a trade? And he's like, what were his words? I have no intention of leaving. That's what Giannis told Chris. And then the next day, you see the story that Chris wrote, like, well, Giannis met with the team owner. That's normal, but I did notice missing from that story was Chris explaining these conversations, these exit interviews are normal. So if Giannis wanted to get a message out, I think Chris could have delicately put in there, like, this is normal, it's nothing to be alarmed about. That was missing from there. So people would read into it, and you absolutely have to know what they would read into it. Did Giannis want that? Is there some message sending in there?
Maybe. I mean, following his teammates might be a message to the Bucks to be like, yo, get your act together. Yeah. Also, Giannis said the right thing after the game. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gareth, KD said very similar things.
I know.
Anthony Davis said very similar things.
I know.
Emotions are running high. He's going to go on vacation, clear his mind. The Bucks have the ability to convince him to stay. They can say, listen, we're acquiring this person. We're going to do this move. Yeah. And he's great.
Oh, and we're paying you the max.
Right. But until then, he says the right thing. And if he ever wants to change his mind, he goes, I wanted to stay, but the Bucks ownership, I wasn't confident in what the Bucks ownership's doing. I don't trust what they're doing. I think it's time for me to leave. It's very easy to say that, and none of the blame then goes to Giannis in that moment for saying it before. It's more like he tried, and he had to change things.
Yeah. You know what I thought of? I'm imagining poor Brooke Lopez reading all these stories at Epcot. He's just like in line at Disney reading his phone like, oh, man.
Brooke and Robin are sitting there like they haven't left the bubble, I'm sure. They're probably there for another 4 months.
They're actually a Disney mascot now. I heard that they get the tallest
mascot
ever seen. Yeah,
custom made. I'd be so excited if one or both of the Lopez twins ended up on the Warriors. That would be
I think that'd be the best. Well, there's a Stanford connection with Jaren Collins.
Well, yeah.
Coaches.
And
there's a lot of Stanford connections, I would say.
Yeah, and being teammates of Drew.
Yeah, Drew Schiller. Yeah. I mean, all the reason. Maybe that's why they're staying away, actually.
That's a good point. Oh, man. It's my favorite game of the year when we're at the games and the Lopez twins come to town, because they're always fun to see them. They're just the greatest. They're the best. Yeah.
All right. Enough Giannis. Now, let's talk about James Harden. Let's talk about the Rockets. All right, I think we both said Lakers in six or seven. We definitely hedged it, but I think we both thought the Lakers would win that series. They did in five. Although, even though the Rockets took game one, decisively, I was like, you know what? This still feels like a Lakers series to me. Mike D'Antoni is leaving. He is not coming back. He was with the Rockets for 4 years. all four of those seasons were postseason runs. I mean, the Rockets have made it to the postseason for 8 consecutive seasons. That coincides with James Harden coming to the team in 2012. So what is not working? What are the reasons why they can't push through? And tell me about that smile on your face right now.
So first of all, D'Antoni leaving is expected, right? Yeah. Everyone kind of assumed that the relationship was over. I figured out a trade that would have made the Rockets go further and maybe even win the title this year. All right.
You want to talk trade right now?
No, I figured out that what would have worked this year. Okay. You ready for this?
Yeah.
If they traded Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul, they would have been, Kareth, it hurt my brain when they made the trade. And Daryl Morey is very smart. I actually really like Daryl Morey, but when they made that trade in the offseason, and obviously Chris Paul and James Harden weren't, it wasn't necessarily working, but on the court, it was working enough. They almost took they were very tough on the Warriors. Very tough. Because they were a very good team with Capella as well down low. They were good. When they make that trade, they take on probably the worst contract in the NBA in Russell Westbrook, who's for the next 3 years after this is making over $40 million a year. And they gave away a bunch of first round picks with Chris Paul to get Russ, okay? Whom already is a weird fit. Now, in the regular season, people are like, wow, Russ is playing great. He looks good. He's next to James Harden. They're working. They're friends. They play this small ball. It's fun. Here's the problem, Kareth. As the Warriors have shown many different times, the regular season only means so much, right? You have to go to a different level and teams play differently. Even Giannis has experienced this. Giannis is incredible during the regular season, but you need different pieces around you, a team construction, because otherwise teams focus. They can literally focus on you and change things. Yeah. Russell Westbrook is the reason why this team cannot get over the hump, in my mind, for the next 3 years, because you can't have that much money committed to James Harden and Russell Westbrook and expect to win a title. You just can't. So
why not though? Like, that is an all-time duo. And I understand each are making $41 million next season, and unloading either of them would be incredibly difficult. I'm bouncing all over the place, and I think I interrupted you. Go ahead.
That's the right question.
If you're going to build around a duo, you've got it. But I'm with you. I think the Rockets kneecap themselves. They're like, okay, we're committing to small ball. We're getting rid of Clint Capella and I think it was a first round pick. Okay, we're getting Robert Covington. So they gave away a pick. Then they're going to swap out Chris Paul and 2 first round picks for Russell Westbrook. Okay, so now their future is looking small because they don't have a lot of picks. What do you do? And you still can't push through. You don't make it to the Western Conference Finals. The Warriors are not standing in your way this year. So why can't you do it? Why do you let the Lakers take care of you in 5 after you won game 1? You show you have the recipe to win. What derailed? Why weren't you guys the better team this year after so much talk about, like, this is the year, this is the time that we win now? It just didn't happen. And I don't want to be petty. I do want to say this tells me, again, how difficult it is to win a championship. Extraordinarily difficult. And even when you want it to be your year, it might not be your year. I get it. So is everything on the table for the Rockets?
Absolutely. They can't. They don't have that much on the table. So the only thing they could do technically is trade James Harden and their other pieces. They can't get rid of Russell Westbrook. I don't know who on earth would take Russell Westbrook. I don't know a deal that a team would want. Kareth, you're asking why the two of them couldn't be the base around, because, and I'm just going to be blunt here, and it's just, Russell Westbrook is not that good. And
he is a triple-double machine. He is absolutely that good. He is absolutely that good.
He is a very good regular season player. Not a good defender at all.
He's not a good three-point shooter, and teams will bait him into shooting. But I get that. It's a profound weak spot.
He improved so much during the regular season on a lot of his shots, and he became efficient, and people were like, wow, this is the new and improved Russell Westbrook. But when it came time to be that person, there are flaws. And as Draymond Green said it himself on TNT, guarding James Harden and the Rockets is not that difficult because you know what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook is the epitome of that. Because you sag off of him, He only has so many choices. And if he shoots a jumper, I tweeted this out. I want to bottle up that feeling the opposing defense feels when they see Russell Westbrook run down the court and shoot a jumper.
You're talking about the elation that they feel?
The elation, the warm, yeah. fuzzy feeling, the comfort, the security they feel
yeah.
in that moment. And, Kareth, I just – they have to do probably something dramatic. And I love some of their – I mean, I love P.J. Tucker. I'm a Robert Covington fan. I think James Harden
– Eric Gordon.
I'm a big Eric Gordon fan. I think Eric Gordon should have had the ball in his hands twice as much as Russell Westbrook did. I mean, Russ is very skilled. He does a lot of great things. He helps you win in the regular season. But if he's your number two guy on a team with James Harden.
You don't see them coexisting. Are you talking about the way that they play on the court? Or do you think there's behind the scenes stuff?
Oh, no. Behind the scenes, they seem fine. They're friends.
Yeah.
It's not even them on the court together. It's the fact it's just Russell Westbrook.
The triple-double machine. He is – his competitive juices are like next level though.
Yeah.
So I don't see
you'd him wish he was on the defensive end that competitive juices.
A detriment. Sure. I wonder he had COVID. Remember? Like there was a big story, like he had COVID. He held back from going to the bubble for a little while. He needed a quarantine at home. I wonder if that made a mark on I don't know.
He was out of rhythm. He wasn't feeling great. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but still.
Yeah.
Chris Paul brought a different dynamic that was hard to – he could shoot the three. He controls the pace. He was a very smart player, great defender. He did all those things. Even if he didn't perfectly get along with James Harden, they at least were able to play off each other in a way that – I mean, Kobe and Shaq didn't necessarily get along together, right? But they were able to
win.
Kevin Durant and certain players potentially weren't, always happy together, right? But you win together. Russ and him are fine together. They're good.
Yeah. Okay. If everything is on the table, do you consider a trade for James Harden?
I think the Rockets – it depends on what they want. It really depends on what they want. If they want to be competitive and get back to the playoffs next year, no, don't trade James Harden. Maybe you just run it out there with Russ and James and just be good in the regular season and maybe take down a team in the playoffs here or there and just play like that. I mean, your other option is to tear it down completely. You still have Russ on the books because you're not going to be able to tear it down more than that. So, I think you just run it back with James and you try to reshuffle pieces maybe a little bit. The problem is their owner needs to shed money because he's bleeding out money too. So I don't know which way they're going to go. It's a very tough situation with no D'Antoni too. They can change their style again. That's potential. They can change the style of play, even though I think he got the most out of that play.
I know after all of this, small ball emphasis, do you think another coach is going to come in and be like, we need a center?
Potentially.
We had a pretty good one, Clint Capella, but there's such a small vision when it comes to win now. It's for this season. Right.
The coach would have to convince Daryl Morey to get a center because the coach is the one who's being hired by Daryl Morey. So he would have to be like, this is my vision. But really, at the end of the day, I know I'm being very harsh on Russell Westbrook. I understand that. And at the end of the day, you look around the league, and if you're trying to build a championship team, everyone's pointing at James Harden because he has historically struggled in the moments that they needed him to step up. I actually think James was fantastic in this series. Even when he was missing shots, I really liked his game.
Too. Wasn't he leading in steals?
He was owning up a little bit. He still did his little ole defense every now and then where he kind of stands to the side and uses his arm and the guy goes right by him. But
ole!
Ole!
Traffic cone of arms.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm very, very hesitant to say moving forward the Rockets can compete with a Clippers, a Lakers, a Nuggets, all these teams if the two highest paid people on their team. Well, forget James Harden. The second highest paid person on the team is Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. I think hindsight would be very cruel to the Rockets if they dumped James Harden. How do you get rid of an MVP He's led the league in scoring in three consecutive seasons. I mean, he is a once-in-a-lifetime piece that you build around. They've been trying to build around him for 8 years. They have made him the linchpin of all of this. It hasn't quite worked. And I also wonder, at what point does James Harden kind of cross his arms and lean back and, like, start feeling a little disgruntled? So,
yeah, well, Kareth, there are blueprints in the past for teams trading away their best player and becoming almost better, or their future looks better. Just look at what Paul George trade just happened for OKC. They got back Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who might end up being an all-star for multiple years. They got all these picks. They got all these different pieces. And they were forced to trade Paul George, and they still got that. So at the end of the day, there are trades to be made. It just depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to win now, I don't see a scenario where you keep Russ and you trade away James and you're that much. You're not going to be better. But, you know, also there are GMs out there that will do something crazy and someone will trade for Russell Westbrook, maybe.
I mean, the blueprint, Kawhi Leonard left the Raptors, and they had a hell of a run. So your best player leaves, I mean, well, be a trade or free agency or what have you. I mean, there is a blueprint to succeed after that. All right, so I guess – who do Warriors fans consider a rival now? I mean, like the Rockets, that really has just kind of been like, well, who are you? We know we can beat you. Do they have to shift? Should Warriors fans start looking at the LA teams more than they are? Is their rival the Lakers? Is it the Clippers? Like what?
As long as LeBron's there, it's going to be Lakers, right? Yeah. I think no matter what, LeBron, as you said before on our last pod, it's like everyone was conflicted. Do you root against LeBron or do you root against the Rockets, right? It's got to be LeBron, but the Warriors need to be good again to even call anyone a rivalry. I hate when in sports people say, oh, the rivalry's back. But if one team's bad, no, it's not a rivalry. Sure, you don't like them.
It's only a rivalry in the worst team's mind, right?
Exactly. I don't care. So really the reason the Clippers-Warriors rivalry was so good for so long and then it became the Rockets-Warriors was because they faced each other and both of the teams were legit during that period. Yeah. You know, if the Warriors become good again, then you'd have to say that, I mean, the Rockets are still a really good team if they keep the exact same team together. They had a chance to get to the Western Conference Finals. That's a really good team. So the rival would be there, but as long as LeBron's on a team, Warriors fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Warriors fans were very sweet. The ones who replied were rooting for the Lakers in this terrible situation where we have to pick. We're rooting for the Lakers because they have the most former Warriors on the team. I was like, that's very nice. That's very sweet indeed. You know what? As I think about the Western Conference Finals, like the most hyped matchup would have been the Clippers and Lakers, which would have been awesome. And I still think maybe the Clippers will do it. But dude, how do you let this get to a Game 7? How? And credit to the Nuggets for being in this situation again. Like, never say die. Do you root for the Nuggets knowing that Mike Malone used to be Warriors' assistant, right? Like, he's one of Draymond Green's favorite guys. Like, they will talk defense and have, like, their little basketball IQ sessions. I just think that's been a great story. The Nuggets have surprised the heck out of me, and it's been a lot of fun. I will be glued to Game 7.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and also, don't forget, like, the Nuggets are going to be good for a long time, too. They're very young. Some of their youngest players are their best players. If you're a Warriors fan, you're rooting for the Clippers, which is a weird experience, but because if you don't want LeBron to win, if you're a Warriors fan, you want the Clippers because, again, the Nuggets are surprising a lot of people, and I think they would steal a game maybe or two from the Lakers and really nothing against – I actually am really impressed with them. I don't know if they're ready now. They're showing that they're ahead of schedule. It's almost like the Warriors were. They're ahead of schedule before they were actually ready to be what they are. But, I mean, I want to see Kawhi against LeBron.
They're ahead of schedule.
I want to see Kawhi against LeBron. Last time they faced each other, Kawhi beat LeBron in the finals. I want to see them play against each other again. And it'd be a lot of fun, the L.A. rivalry. I wish there was fans in the stands for that one. But that's what I want to see. If the Nuggets make it, it'd be fun in a different way. You get to see new faces, but Kawhi against LeBron would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, in my opinion. LA versus the Lakers versus the Clips. LA would be so lit as a city. That would be insane.
That'd be awesome.
I don't know. Maybe the Nuggets can pull it out of the hat again. Maybe, here's the rabbit. Hey. Ooh, they're not making it easy on themselves, though. Game sevens. Come on, guys. So now you're going to go up against, I think, the Celtics. Although,
no.
Shouldn't I have learned at this point not to discount the Heat?
I'm putting my feet. I'm going Heat right now.
Yeah?
And can I mention this? I love both teams. I actually really like there's a few players on each team that I'm obsessed with. I'm going Heat.
Okay. The Andre effect?
Yeah, the Andre effect. Yeah. No, I just I don't know. I think everyone's leaning Celtics mostly, but I just love the way the Heat are playing right now. And they are just, they're deep. And yeah, they have some experienced guys on there. The Celtics are young, but very experienced in their own way. But I'm going long series, seven games Heat. Are you going Celtics?
Yeah, Celtics. I will say, honestly, what I just wanted to say was Celtics in five, but I'll make it Celtics in six to be polite.
Ooh, very confident. I like it. I like it.
Ooh, we've talked about so much. Is there anything else you want to get to?
Make sure to check out the article that I wrote about with the little talk with Tom Haberstroh. And I've been doing those every week, asking some questions about free agents, trade targets. We mentioned Marcus Smart in there and how he says how, as many expect, like, why would the Celtics want to trade Marcus Smart? Marcus Smart's incredible. And yes, by the way, the Warriors would love Marcus Smart, but hesitates. And then he throws out one name out there. He throws out Chris Dunn, who was a very high draft pick. People expected big things from him. In Chicago, he underperformed. He wasn't the player that a lot of people wanted, but I think the Warriors could look at him, and Tom, this is what Tom was saying, and just take a chance and say, hey, this guy could be Marcus Smart light, where he's just a scrappy, long defender from the guard position. Maybe he can develop his shot again. 2 years ago, he shot 35% from three. So I think Chris Dunn could be fun. Obviously, it depends on what the Warriors can get him at. I don't think they'd go above a minimum contract for him. But yeah, just check out those articles. You mentioned Bradley Beal, Pascal Siakam, all the guys. So yeah.
Dunn could be fun. I can see the headlines now. I love it. What did Haberstroh say about Giannis?
He said that while it still is hard to get Giannis out of there, I asked him, does their flame out change anything? And he said, potentially. He thinks that he also is somebody that he thinks it'd be impossibly hard for the Warriors to trade for him. And he's convinced, why would the Bucks even want to trade him immediately? But a flame out like that does change things a little bit, and it makes things a little testy. And it's the same reason he saw about the Raptors potentially thinking about trading Pascal Siakam. It's just the idea that once you kind of get your world shaken up, you have to consider things. And since it's a players' league, for Giannis's sake, he would be the one to decide if he wants to stay or go. For Pascal's sake, it'd be Masai deciding, maybe I can shake things up. My opinion, and I think he agrees, neither of them are going anywhere.
No, I wouldn't trade Siakam. Definitely not. Yeah. He's like most improved. Why would you give him up when he's he hasn't even reached his peak.
26 years old. If you're rebuilding, you keep the guy and rebuild with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good. Haberstroh, thank you for those insights from him. Thank you for your insights as well. This has been the Run and Plays podcast presented by Wendy's. We appreciate you listening. Please rate, please subscribe, and please continue to give us your feedback on Twitter and Instagram. I will do my best to pay attention to that when I'm not unfollowing everyone.
I'm checking my Instagram every single day now.